Hey everyone, welcome back to Rally Caps. It's a podcast for artists, entrepreneurs, and everybody in between. I'm Steven.
And I'm Gene.
And today we are doing a little bit of a deep dive into something that Gene has been working on for a number of years now, which is his commercial and hospitality photography and filmmaking portfolio. We've been doing a little bit of like a mini series where each of the three of us, Eric, Gene, and I, are kind of doing a deep dive on one of the other's specific area of interest. I don't know if these will be coming out in order, but we recently did an episode with Eric talking about his running channel and the incorporation of athletics into his art. That was a really cool listen. And today we are doing the same thing with Gene, kind of putting him in the hot seat and chatting about his commercial portfolio and how he has been building a really excellent, really refined brand for himself within the commercial and hospitality space specifically. Going to break down a specific shoot that the two of us went on with Braxton back in February. We went to Seattle to photograph a hotel chain. We'll do some kind of tech breakdown there and kind of unpack the actual logistics of all of that. And then we'll kind of close by talking about what you're doing next, what 2024 is going to look like for your commercial work and how you've been pitching yourself to new brands.
Yikes.
Really exciting. So first, we'll take it really easy off the rip, ease into things for any new listeners or any returning listeners that just need to have their memories refreshed. Let's just give some quick context for how you got into commercial photography and specifically with restaurants, hospitality, hotels, things of that nature. How long have you been doing it for?
So like officially, unofficially, I've been shooting commercial work in tandem with my wedding photography business. Maybe for like 5 years now.
Okay.
I would say like more seriously, probably 2019 was the first time I started dabbling in work outside of weddings. And the way that that happened for me was it was interiors, specifically residential. And that was kind of the genre that I chose to pursue based off of my interests at the time. And it was also the skill set that I learned from weddings using mixed lighting, natural light, just like various scene setting images I took throughout wedding days. I just applied that to interiors. And so that was, I think, around 2019. And fast forwarding to today now, it's been an evolve, like an evolution of starting there and now taking that same interest, but now applying it to a different genre, I guess. So still interiors, but it's really kind of utilizing more of my skill set of lifestyle images, portraits, branding, product, and now applying that specifically to the hospitality space, travel, F&B, which is food and beverage. So those are kind of like more of where my interests lie currently and where I intend to kind of take the next steps for my career moving forward.
And you're trying to do this in a way that feels true to you as an artist, not just a copy and paste, very generic standard picture profile, you know, classic type of imagery that you would typically associate with hotels and things like that. You are leaning into some really interesting styles with off-camera flash and, like you said, lifestyle in particular, incorporating portraiture and your human subjects into the scenes and showing how they interact with that, and a little bit of film as well.
I'm really thankful for weddings specifically because of the, not just the eye that I developed, but also the experience of skill sets and just like 10 years of shooting weddings. I've learned a lot of things, but it's been fun to apply those skill sets and even that perspective now to a genre that can be looked at as a bit like antiquated or like a bit old school. And I've had conversations with people in that world and they will admit themselves, it is a very like old school market, specifically like hotels, for example, within the hospitality space. And so it's cool to see a lot of brands trying new things, but really like what I'm bringing to the table isn't putting a camera on a tripod and using three strobes. Like, sure, I can do those things, but it's not even what gets me excited. It's really creating images that are more narrative based, which I know everyone says that, but it really is indicative of the work that I've created over the past 10 years. And now just applying that to sometimes what a genre that can be looked at as boring or very like stereotypical, like, oh, girls at the pool.
Right.
Feet in water, like, right. Or like infinity pool with like girl at the very end of it, yeah. With like Bali in the back. I'm like, yeah. I don't care about that kind of stuff, honestly, uh-huh. But it's like the injection of my personality and the things that interest me, like film, video work, motion, like storytelling that I've learned from weddings, and now just applying that in a way that's still very familiar to the brands that I hopefully get to work with. Mm-hmm. But also it's like it's a new perspective for them as well, and hopefully opens up a new audience for them. So that's kind of my goal in all of this.
Yeah. When I referenced off-camera flash earlier, I was specifically referring to cabled, corded, kind of direct off-camera flash, which I think is honestly such a sick addition to hotel and hospitality things, because you never see that. So it's a very, very unique look. It looks very cool in street photography and party kind of paparazzi stuff. It's something that you and I have both done so more times than we can count at weddings, in particular on the dance floor, things like that.
Yeah,
and you
don't
typically see that kind of high contrast, bright source of light, very isolating on the subject in something like hotels, because it's usually just very soft, very meant to feel natural, not super hyper stylized. But I really like the way you've incorporating that in particular into hospitality.
Fun. Yeah. And that truly, like, again, we've been doing that from weddings for a while, but really what like took it to the next level for me was it was film, like really shooting and even like learning from watching Joe, like his approach towards street photography or other people too, whether it was tethered or eventually using pro photos with the transmitter to like not even have a cable, but put that flash anywhere. But that approach, I did a job, and I know we're going to talk about this for IHG, but one of the very first shoots, I took that approach. Chad was there too, but direct flash, and that was some of their favorite images that I took.
Sweet.
Using
okay.
direct flash on film.
Was that the one with the video games?
Yeah.
Near Wolf Point?
Yeah, it was the Voco.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That, yeah, yeah. I really liked the idea of that. Okay, so we'll get into that narrative component in just a sec, because that is something that I think is very telling as to your intention and approach behind all of your commercial work. So again, just to reiterate, number of years of just interiors, residential, things of that nature. What was the next step from interiors in a residential capacity to doing more hospitality?
Yeah, it was... It was a blend of my personal interests in life, apart from my work, and then just like an opportunity that came up a couple of years ago working with Stock Manufacturing, which is essentially a company here in Chicago who outfits what I would consider like not specifically luxury, but very like edgy or modernized businesses within the hospitality space, so like hotels and restaurants specifically. And so they outfit like front of staff, kitchen staff, managers, top down, everyone. And so they've been an incredible company to work with, because they gave me the opportunity through various shoots, and you've been on them with me, to kind of get my like my literally like in the door of some of these restaurants that even normally I would never go to myself, or hotels that I wouldn't spend the money to stay at. But it gave me the opportunity to just have a little more like a behind the curtains peek at to like what actually happens in that world. But the personal side of it was I got really into like credit card hacking, is just the best way I can call it. Like end of 2018, and then 2019, like floodgates opened, and I just got like really into it. And so you fast forward, which is crazy, like nearly 5 years. And it's been a lot of applying that credit card hacking to how I travel and how we travel as a family. But the thing that we leverage for lodging at our hotels. And so like, because of that personal interest of learning how to travel with more ease, and even the application of like status has just naturally piqued my interest in that world. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a foodie by any means. So I'm not like, oh, I need to try like go to this really trendy restaurant. Like actually I like good food, but I don't care so much about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I do care a lot about like experience, which I know everyone does. But the thing for me that it's because I'm frugal too, like I'm unwilling to spend, is like lounge experience or like upgraded room or seats. Like I don't like to pay for that stuff, but because of the whole credit card stuff, it's allowed me to experience some of those things. Mm-hmm. And so it's applying that personal interest of travel and hospitality to that opportunity with stock. And so it was like the natural application of, I know how to shoot interiors, I know how to shoot vignettes, I know how to shoot product too, mm-hmm. portraits and lifestyle images. And now just applying it to this opportunity that I got with stock that then opened these doors for me, or at least opened my eyes to what's possible. And I'm still at the very beginnings of what that will look like, mm-hmm. but definitely the past nearly 6 months have been like primarily focused on that type of work.
Yeah. I honestly hadn't even thought about how impactful all the case studies that we shot for stock
yeah.
would have been leading yeah. up to this, especially because they were all fairly low stress
yeah.
and allowed for a lot of room for experimentation. And all of those sets of images for each of those restaurants or hotels or whatever they were ended up being really cool. Like they were very fun.
Some of them are currently on my portfolio and mm-hmm. my media kit, but I mean, that's what I was able to start using mm-hmm. to start pitching to inevitably like IHG.
Yep.
And so like, it's not that we were like, oh, this is like an ongoing client that we're gonna make so much money from. That was sure. not the, you and I both know that wasn't mm-hmm. necessarily the case either, but that opportunity just to give both of us kind of insight into that world was enough for me to kind of like salivate the palate, to like yeah. get me excited about, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it, but I can do this. And so that's kind of like where my eyes have been fixed on
yeah.
for the past 6 months.
Yeah. I feel like because we're talking so much about stock, we do need to shout them out a little bit.
Yeah.
This bear blanket
yes.
right here
yeah.
was a very generous gift from them.
Yep.
Again, we've been working with them for about 2 years now.
Yeah. Maybe a little more than that now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been, I think it did start pretty shortly after I moved to Chicago.
You're right. I think so. Yeah. We started with doing basically shoots on site for their clients.
Yeah.
Photographing like, it was like low volume deliverables, but really trying to convey like their outfitting mm. on their employees, mm. like in these various places.
Yeah.
But then we were also able to do a few e-commerce shoots for them in our studio. Mm-hmm. And we've always done that together. So yeah, it's been a while.
It has.
Yeah. But they like very much, and Mike's a real one for yeah. literally letting us keep this because we were fanboying when we saw it
yeah.
on one of the shoots. And he's like, you guys can just keep it. We're like, no.
He's like, yes. Unbelievably kind, like truly. And the story behind this too is that Stock has done obviously a number of white label outfitting for so many different restaurants, hospitality, a little bit higher end, a little bit cooler
yeah.
spaces.
Yeah.
And so they, because they're a Chicago company and the show The Bear, which is one of our favorite all-time shows,
yeah.
is based in Chicago. They were asked to do, I believe it was cast and crew gifts for, or maybe just crew gifts for season one of
yeah.
The Bear for like a wrap gift.
Yeah.
And then in season two, we're asked to come back to both provide uniforms for actors.
Crazy.
Which is super cool.
Crazy.
And then also do another round of gifts for cast and crew.
Yeah.
This blanket was one of those gifts that were given to everybody
yeah.
and were not available to be sold to the public.
Like, yeah, you can't buy this.
You cannot
anywhere.
Buy this anywhere. So it was a custom stock blanket.
Yeah.
So it's truly, it's a dream come true to have this. We love it very much.
Yeah.
It's a little wrinkly right now, but yeah.
But shout out to stock. Yeah. Jim yeah. and Mike, real yeah. ones for sure.
Yes. Yeah. So keeping all of that in mind, mm-hmm. building up the portfolio, getting it closer to what you want to look like so that you can pitch other brands. In 2023, you get connected with an agency
yes.
that gives you the foot in the door with IHG.
Yeah.
Can you just briefly explain IHG to people?
Yeah.
IHG.
So- I'll explain what IHG is and yes. then also how that came to be the yes. opportunity, because it's pretty funny to me. But mm-hmm. IHG is like widely considered globally one of the big like four hotel chains, and so they have a network of hotels that fall underneath the parent brand of IHG. Mm-hmm. Some that like people may be familiar with are like Holiday Inn mm-hmm. Expresses, that falls under IHG. And so they have different tiers of like different like levels of experiences. But the reason why I got connected with them was we were actually staying at that same hotel that we were referencing earlier that mm-hmm. I did at Direct Flash, that mm-hmm. shoot at the Voco or like the Holiday Inn, their combined properties. But my family was staying there last summer. And as I normally do, like I'll take images on my phone, put it through Visco, little sauce, and then just like post on my stories. And I remember that property, it wasn't IHG. It was either the Holiday Inn or the Voco saying, hey, like, do you mind if we reshare this? Mm-hmm. I was like, of course. Yeah, please go ahead. And then like literally a couple months after that, I got an email from the agency that I ended up working with, mm-hmm. who was working with IHG. And they said, hey, we saw your work. We love your Instagram. we love to work together. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, this is not real. Cause I was like, why would you know who I am? I don't have an extensive portfolio. I don't have a large, large following. Like mm-hmm. there's no reason for you to reach out to me. But mm-hmm. essentially that was the beginning of how I started working with the agency that had IHG as their client. Mm-hmm. So all of this was with the agency, not with IHG directly, which is also a very common thing in the hotel space. Most hotels are not doing their own asset curation. They're working with an agency mm-hmm. in partnership to create those visual assets. Mm-hmm. Something I didn't know before I started, but now I've come to learn as I've done this for just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that's how I came to start working with IHG, did a first shoot with them, which is kind of like snowballed into a lot of really, really cool shoots I'm really proud of. Yeah. And that's what happened.
Yeah. This was not my next question, but it came searing back into my memory that I have technically modeled for some of those shoots.
Yes.
For IHG.
Yes.
Which is, I put the most severe air quotes around modeled, because knowing the behind the scenes of how all that came together and all of the process behind that, it's very fun.
Yeah.
I've tag teamed behind the camera with you as well, but have primarily just kind of assisted in whatever capacity has been most beneficial for you. And one of those shoots Chad was on as well.
Which I know we're going to talk about, but frankly speaking, that's the thing I love about our work.
Yeah.
Whether it's rally caps or just like anything else we do, is getting to do it with friends. Cause then you're just like hanging out. Honestly, sometimes I feel like these companies shouldn't see what we're doing. Cause I'm like, man, if you had a rep on site, you'd be like, these guys are clowns.
Yes.
But it's that friendship, or that overlapping of our doing so many various projects together, like mm-hmm. this podcast, mm-hmm. that has allowed us the synergy and the collaborative mind to understand sometimes you don't even have to say something, mm-hmm. or it's like, hey, can we try this? And we will figure out a way with what we have at our fingertips to figure it out. But that's been a joy for me to yes, you've modeled and you've been on an actual production, helping me produce it too and shoot it. But it's been fun to involve friends. Chad was on the very first one I did, mm-hmm. which was really fun.
That was the Loco one?
I remember we gaff taped the tube light to the mirror to mimic mirror lighting. And then Chad, really? Did you really want a burger or something? The burgers look really good. Did you? We took it. We took them. Yeah. What was the first one? Oh, the first one was with Karina. Gosh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes. Jeez. Who we've worked with First Stock.
So actually, all ties
that's
back
why
together.
It's been it's fun to have these little moments of projects or work that you can pull from.
Yeah.
Whether it's talent or resources. And for me, everything is a culmination, or it's an adding on from a previous thing. Mm. Nothing ever just starts from this top of the mountain. It's always this building on top of building on top of building on top of something you've done already. Yep. So that's been really fun to see. I think sometimes people are like, oh, how'd you do that? I'm like, my entire career, literally my entire career got me to where I am now. And it just sometimes it takes time too. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can't appreciate those compounding effects until you're 5, 10, 15 years into it. And you have a network of people that you can pull from, or you have a studio of people that you have spent so much time in the trenches with,
for just sure.
building those relationships, building that camaraderie, building that on-set unspoken communication, even being able to read each other and understand what the next thing to be done has to be, or reprioritizing things or whatever. There's so many, like you said, different scenarios that we have worked together in amongst everyone in the studio as well. And it's just helped us really refine all of the rough edges and have a pretty great, albeit goofy, on-set demeanor that works for us. And we know how to get the job done.
Yeah. We're professionals.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Me cheesing, turning on the TV over and over and over and over again for you to get those photos of me pretending I was a weary businessman coming home. Not coming home, staying at a hotel.
That was a Garner? That was the one.
That was the Garner, and it was the one with Chad too. What was the one in Illinois?
There was we've done a lot.
We've done a. You've done probably a dozen shoots for Aichi, right?
If not more. I think altogether, it's been probably about a dozen properties for them. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's deep dive into one of them now.
Okay.
Kind of focusing back to what I mentioned in the intro. We went to Seattle back in February with Braxton as well, who listeners of the show might be familiar with. Braxton is one of the other co-owners here at Creative Club Chicago. The three of us went to Seattle for about 3 days total. I think you were there for four to scout for an extra day on the front end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about that shoot in detail.
Yeah. So that was that was in February, and that was the largest shoot I did for the agency I was working with IHG. And so, that one was, there was a specific property they wanted documented in, or it was a specific brand that they were essentially relaunching.
Yes.
And so they only had a few properties, but the one that they wanted to focus on was in Seattle. And so that was the reason why we were out there specifically. But I already knew at that point that with what I had in my head visually and what I wanted to capture, that I would need a team of people, but specifically a team of people with specific skill sets. So I knew I needed someone that understood lighting, that can kind of very quickly maneuver lighting. And Braxton was perfect for that just because he also has specific tools that are so good for run and gun style stuff, which is what I was hoping for on that. It was only a half day shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really trying to make sure that we were dialed and we could move quickly. And then obviously with your and I experience with strobes, with films, and just what we shoot and what we've shot together so far, it made perfect sense for me to have it would be us three working on this job.
Mm-hmm.
So I went a day in advance just to scout and make sure things were dialed and ready to go. And then you guys flew in the next day. And then the day after that was our actual production day.
Yes.
And then Braxton came back that night.
Yep.
Which he had a wedding the next day.
Yeah.
And then,
wow. We photographed another property the next day.
And we did. Yeah. We did a second property while we were out there because they asked. And I was of course, we're already out here. But that shoot was for one of their brands under the IHG umbrella that's specifically focused on health, wellness, movement, athletics, stuff like that. So there's a theme to the shoot, and we were actually able to employ two of your friends who are one of your closest friends, you and Laura, which was a lot of fun too for me to meet them.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Chanel and Jean-Luc.
Yes,
for real. They lived in Seattle. They still live in Seattle.
Perfect.
And they were great.
It was so much fun to work with them. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of great working with them and then our other models too, who are who do it vocationally, but having those two couples, the four of them was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really nice to have them be so flexible and open-minded with kind of the prompts we were throwing at them and some of the attire too. But, there was some pre-production we had to do before.
Pre-production before the shoot. You did a ton of pre-production before
I did.
Got to Seattle.
Yeah, I did a ton of stuff.
You spent a ton of time on.
It's all I focused on for a week and a half, 2 weeks. It's all I thought about. It's all I lived and breathed was just preparing for this shoot.
You're communicating with models.
Yes.
You were putting together a really comprehensive shot list and deck, visual reference deck for all of us to see behind the scenes and also for the models to see so they could kind of get an idea of what we were going for. You put so much time into that.
Yeah, it's it was, I just wanted to over-prepare because there's no such thing as you can definitely underprepare. But I was I'm gonna go into this with making sure we're dialed. But it was so with this shoot, there's wardrobe. but I mentioned earlier, there's a theme to it, and our theme was pickleball. So that was a theme. But obviously, it's an athletic centered theme shoot.
Yeah.
So it's athleisure. It's athletic clothing. Yep. And so thankfully my contact at the agency, incredible. They're wonderful. But she took on the role of and the responsibility of taking care of wardrobe.
Yep.
Cause she asked me to, Gene, do you want to do that? I was honestly, if you could do it, I trust you. You just send whatever you think is best.
Yeah.
So we felt it was best to do it all through Amazon because it would be quick and we can get it to an Amazon locker, which was at a Whole Foods. So it'd be easy for us to pick up.
Right.
Yeah, easy for us to pick up.
Yep.
Little did we know that when we showed up, we would set the record for number of packages being picked up within one order, which was like 32. It was like something absurd.
It was ridiculous. I will never forget the facial expression on the woman who is ringing us up, because we walked up and we said, "Hi, we're here to pick up an order." She's like, "Okay, hi, what's your barcode?" And Jean was like, "Well, it's a lot of barcodes.
I've got a lot of them,
pretty
actually.
Big order." And she goes, "Oh, well, we'll see."
Yeah.
And then she scanned the code and she goes, "32 packages? Oh my gosh. You guys weren't kidding." Like, we weren't.
We were just like, I felt bad for them. They were so kind too. Yeah. But like, and I also asked her after, I was like, "Wait, what's the biggest order you've gotten before this?" She's like 17 or 18. I was like, "Oh God, we just like nearly doubled that. Cool." Yeah. But I felt bad for them because we kept laughing. Like, it was so unreal to me that I was giggling the entire time.
I was like, I swear we're not laughing at you. This is just such a ridiculous situation to be in where because they were all separately packaged too. every single item for the shoot came from a different shipping facility. It was ridiculous. We filled an entire shopping cart with everything. And I think we still had to carry stuff in bags after. We looked so ridiculous. We stood there for like 15 or 20 minutes while they cleared out their entire locker, I assume. That was all that was in their locker.
They were so nice. I felt terrible. I was laughing so much, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, like I don't want them to think we're being rude by laughing at them."
They were laughing too. They're like, "This is..."
They thought it was hysterical too. Yeah. Like, who wouldn't? But it was funny too, because like when we got everything from them all in one cart, somehow magically we fit in one cart. As we're carting it away, I remember you were carting in, and you didn't see this, but you walked past, like, you and this guy passed each other, and he just, like, looked, and he, like, stopped and looked again, and, like, it was, like, the look of, like, bewilderment, like, what is happening? And I remember seeing that. I just started dying, too, because I'm like, "Brother, I get it. It's quite the scene. Like, I get why you did a double take. I get it. But it was, like, That was indicative though of like in general when we shoot, like when we do work together, it's like there's always like fun stuff that happens, and sometimes you just have to allow yourself to have fun too. Like everything can't be serious. Mm-hmm. Also, I would hate that myself, but it's like moments of that. Like I won't remember the entire shot list 10 years from now that I curated. I will remember though picking up 32 packages at that freaking Whole Foods and those workers being like, "What?
Like, who are you guys?"
Yeah.
I'm happy that they were very kind and
very sweet.
We struck up a conversation about the shoot and kind of explained the behind the scenes. Yeah. Like, "Oh, that's really cool." And we got to talking about it, but everyone involved in that whole process just thought it was hysterical because it looked ridiculous. You'd expect to see groceries in a cart instead of a teetering pile of boxes and bags full of pickleball equipment. Like, not even like real pickleball. It's just prop pickleball stuff.
Yeah, it was something. So I mean, it was fun having like that experience the night before, and then obviously like getting everything set up. The hotel was incredible to work with. The management there,
they were very accommodating.
Yeah, like Chanel and Jean-Luc, Lloyd and Karina too. Like, they were incredible to work with. Mm-hmm. So like from that perspective, it was a great job. Like it was a job I was also very nervous for because, like, obviously I'm charging client the appropriate budget to take care of like our team, but also like the models and making sure that the work I'm providing is going to be compensated for the value I think it's going to be worth.
Yeah.
And so, it was like, I put a lot of pressure on myself, and looking back, like I could have maybe taken a little bit off of my shoulders, but I don't know. Like, I just really wanted it to turn out really good. And, like it'll be for sure a job that I won't forget because it was so like formative to, I think, where I'm headed next.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to unpack just a few specific images and the behind the scenes
as
to how we lit certain things or just kind of conducted the production of those things. One of the first that stands out to me, and I think this piece of equipment in particular was kind of the hero of the shoot in a lot of ways, which was Braxton's, I don't know the name
They're
of
NAND
them.
Lights, aren't they?
They're NAND lights. They are no joke, the size of a soda can. They're super small without the reflector.
Yeah,
they're
smaller than Nalgene.
Yeah, no, yeah. They're incredible. They're wildly portable.
Yeah.
You can power everything off of a V-mount very easily or just two, I think, Sony NPF batteries.
Yeah.
It comes with a handle. Like, they're these wonderful little lights, so much power, so much output, and they're just very easy to use.
Yeah.
And so we used them in one scene to kind of start the day with as our, you know, guests, so to speak, the team of models that we had were checking into the hotel.
Yeah.
That was the idea.
Yeah.
And we used that NAND light to give an early morning sun.
Yes. That's right.
Effect
that's
right. on the back of their heads to kind of give them a little bit of a halo.
Yeah.
And then used a Profoto A1 with a trigger as the key.
Yeah. It was, that little light was great because it allowed us to move fast because like, sure, it would have been nice to have. And he brought a big light too, but like the Forza, or I forgot what he brought.
Yeah, yeah. I think he brought the big Forza as well.
He did. He brought one of them. But like, it would have been nice to obviously have like a couple of them or a couple like aperture, like big lights.
Yeah.
But like for a job like that, that had to move quickly. And it was like a pretty extensive shot list that I put together as far as like the time that I allotted for these models too. And so, yeah, like that specific scene was nice. It took some tinkering too. It took some, it took some time to figure out, all right, like this looks pretty natural. But I remember like it was a great way to start the day because we did some shots on the exterior to like provide context, which was great. And you actually got some really cool slow shutter motion stuff handheld too. Which was like, those were like some of the first images in the gallery that I delivered. But yeah, it was good to have like that first scene with lighting. And I remember looking back of camera like, oh, yep, this is like perfect. And like that was one of the images we saw recently that they shared on socials. And so
it looks so good.
It was really cool.
It looks so natural.
Yeah.
I think there is something cool about being removed 2 months down the road and then seeing it with fresh eyes and still really liking it and thinking, oh, that totally just looks like an early morning in a hotel with a little bit of sunlight peeking through the window. The effect was really beautiful.
Yeah.
And to reference the image that you just mentioned that I took outside the hotel, that's a great case for IBIS also.
Yeah.
I feel like we never really care about IBIS and cameras too much.
Except that kind of stuff.
Except that. That was hugely beneficial because of, you know, the depth of that scene and wanting to get the sign of the hotel in focus and still having, you know, enough depth to the image and kind of juggling a few different requirements for an image like that.
Yeah.
Being able to just stop my aperture down to, I think I shot it around f8. But still being able to open the shutter enough, I think down to 1/4 or 1/8 of a second is what I ended up shooting it at, and getting a crisp image that had great motion blur in it, all without having to set up a tripod, is really great because that's just another thing that we were able to be nimble with.
And one of the things I remember saying like repeatedly was like trying to convey motion because it was like a part of the theme of what we were, the concept. Yep. So like that kind of stuff, it was a great way to start the shoot too, was having a bit of motion already incorporated to kick things off.
Yep.
But yeah, like the tools that we brought, like those lights were great. The next thing I think of is when we bounced the light into that white towel.
Yes.
There was this like idea I had of like, and things that we've done, like we've mimicked like YouTube videos too, which is also great because the deliverables were photos and videos.
Yes.
That's why Braxton was there.
Yeah,
that's why Braxton was there as well. Basically, like he was contracted to shoot video and basically be like grip, essentially.
And so, that's why we didn't just use strobes.
Yes.
Also, we needed constants.
We needed constants. Exactly. And like I had this idea of like duffel bag opening up and then like talent reaching in and pulling out like a paddle. But like, as you know, Seattle, and it just happened that day too, wasn't the brightest. It got bright at certain points, but like it wasn't a sunny day either. And so we had to create a lot of lighting for ourselves. But the issue we ran into is when we put the FX3 into the bag facing up, which was really cool. But the subject's face was so dark. And like we're trying to match exposure for like him and the sky behind him. And it was impossible. So was it your idea?
To just,
With that little light that we're talking about, Steven had this idea of like, well, let's get a white towel from like the gym or somewhere. I don't remember where we got it.
It was just one of the hotel's towels.
Yeah.
And we put it on, of all things, a pickleball paddle.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
We draped it over the paddle. We pushed that little light into the towel so that it would bounce into his face and create some lighting for his face. So you could actually see the subject. And it was honestly so much fun.
It
was like a shortcut in that vertical video I delivered.
Yeah.
But it provided, like, you needed to see that shot. Otherwise, yeah, it didn't really make sense either.
Definitely. And it totally sold the idea of a team getting ready.
Yeah.
Getting into things, you know. And also just the perspective of it is so cool, because the way that the buildings looked in the background too added a really nice natural frame to Lloyd, who is the talent in that specific scene. And then I think you did a photo version of it as well, where you tethered your phone to your R5.
Yep.
And so you just wirelessly
that was fun too.
Triggered that, which was really cool. Same idea. That was like, I don't know why, but that shot in particular just really stands out, because it was just so fun.
Yeah.
It felt very true to us. It felt very just run and gun, throw it together, make it work.
Yeah.
It might not be considered proper, but it gets a great end result. And that's how we really like to create stuff.
It was great. Like, we use that little light too to create to mimic like early sunrise, mm-hmm, and do like, like warm up the light a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so like we use that outside, which was great. We use the lighting inside the actual fitness center, the gym, mm-hmm, which was great, because I wanted to do more like slow shutter stuff in there too. Like when they were all on the treadmills and they're just kind of like bending over on the bench. Like those tools were, it's fun, because like if you look at some of the BTS we took on our phones, like we look like a bunch of idiots, honestly. Like we're like, man, these guys have no idea what they're doing. But like sometimes it doesn't even matter what you're doing to get the shot, mm-hmm, as long as you can jerry-rig it and put it together, it's just as effective as having like the proper equipment, or a team of like double our production team, but like we, again, that just lends more to like our experience together, mm-hmm, and our synergy and working together. But it was a really fun shoot. I had a lot of fun.
It was amazing. To kind of harp on that a little bit more too, I think that's a testament to our commitment and our love for creating images like this, is just not necessarily always pushing to have the best stuff or the best setup or the best whatever. Is like, we know how to operate with limited resources. Our knowledge base is, I would say, fairly substantial between all of us here.
Yeah.
And we were able to complement each other's strengths and our weaknesses and just find these ways to make stuff work.
Yeah.
And I think that is the testament of a really good image maker, whether that's photo or video, is being able to take the resources that are available and just make something beautiful with them.
Yeah.
Rather than deflating because you don't have the best stuff available to you.
Yeah. It was like, all of it was fun. Even like thinking about like the direct flash again in the car.
Dude,
like
those shots were so cool.
Of them like basically like medals around their neck, kind of like they're leaving the hotel from like their tournament and they won.
And that just goes back to your storytelling power as well. You didn't just create this shoot of lifestyle and wellness.
Yeah.
There's movement, there's activity, and it fits the hotel's brand. You literally had a start to finish narrative that it was not just pickleball, but it was a team of pickleball players who were coming to this hotel for a tournament.
Yeah.
They practiced outside, they warmed up in the lobby and everything, they got ready, and then they even had that moment to celebrate to kind of conclude the whole set of images, which was just brilliant.
And we shot a lot of film too.
Shot a lot of film.
That was a part of the deliverables too, which was really fun.
Yep. It was a super fun shoot. I think the MVP of all of that were the lobster rolls that Braxton and I got.
Oh, yeah.
That was really fun, too.
What did I eat that day?
You didn't eat that night. You weren't hungry. I think you were too nervous.
I was. Yes. I was also very nervous.
That was the night before the shoot. And Braxton and I were like, cool, seafood it is. Seafood for us. We're not nervous at all. Buttery lobster rolls.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was nervous. I was very nervous.
We also had a lot of snacks in the hotel room.
That's also why I wasn't hungry. I snacked my way through my nervousness. My tummy hurt a little bit. So yeah.
So that Seattle job went off without a hitch. It was super fun. We had a great time. And we even, just to kind of put a period on all of it, we were able to make use of all of the props after everyone's all said and done.
Yeah,
we finished the shoot. We did that extra shoot, just the two of us, after Braxton flew out.
Yep.
Models are gone. I'm standing in as a quote unquote model.
Yep.
We wrap our time in Seattle by being able to donate all of the props from the shoot to a Goodwill nearby, because there was no possible way we could have repackaged and returned everything.
Yeah.
So we just wanted it to at least be repurposed in a way that someone else could use it. So it felt like a very efficient, no waste kind of shoot.
Yeah. And that was part of I got confirmation from an agency too. Like they're like, that sounds great to donate it.
Yeah. So with all that being said, What are next steps looking like for you? Because even just an hour ago, right before we hopped on this episode, you had a really big win as far as moving forward and getting some new clients, because you've been cold contacting and pitching a lot of people.
Yeah, like crazy. It's been it's very like reminiscent of when I started first shooting weddings.
Yeah.
And the thing about weddings is, I'm not saying it's easier, but the way that you can like build a portfolio to start is second shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times too, like it's pretty like, it's like, there's not a lot of pressure when you're second shooting if the person you're shooting for is experienced. So like you're really there, like you can shoot things or be entrusted to shoot stuff, but like it's a great way to build a portfolio, build confidence and start like doing the work you want to do. With the work that I want to do and I'm starting to do, it's a little, I'm finding it's a little trickier. Mm-hmm. Even though my skill set 10 years later is more developed, the niche itself is a lot more ambiguous or vague as to like what are the clear steps to take.
Yeah.
Because the commercial world in general, this is in general, there's more gatekeeping, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's less clarity around what is commercial work because it's, literally, commercial work can be anything too.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a wide, like it's an ocean essentially. And you're just kind of picking like where in the ocean do you want to kind of like do your thing. But the place I'm finding myself after working with the agency and with IHG, which was like an incredible experience. So thankful, so honored to have had that experience and shoot all those properties with them. It really like definitely got me excited for more of that type of work. Not just specifically hotels, but if you like take a few steps back, more like hospitality, travel, lifestyle. And that's kind of how I've been pitching myself to potential brands or businesses I can work with. And so kind of wrapping up that Seattle job, got a lot of excitement for, okay, what's next? I already know that I've taken pretty serious steps to kind of like begin the process of exiting out of the wedding game pretty officially, at least like shooting them in a large capacity where they make up a large part of my business's revenue, and now focus on like what is next. And I've always done like peripheral stuff, shoots here, shoots there, portraits, small branding sessions, but like what's my next wedding photography thing?
Yeah.
And so for me, the genre I'm choosing is this. It's hospitality, travel, lifestyle, hotels are a part of it. And so there are some people in LA who I really like their work a lot. We talked to Austin, which like, honestly, that conversation rewired my brain a little bit and gave me the tools and the confidence to start taking big steps. He shoots a lot with Ethan, who Chad and I are fans of his work. Incredible work. And so it's funny.
Shout out Austin also. Just
Austin John. He's a real, like Austin John on Instagram.
Yeah.
Legitimately his work is like top tier and I would love to like create work like that someday. He also works his butt off, so like mad respect for what he's done so far. But in that conversation with him, we learned a few things, but one of the tangible things I got from Austin was that media kit. It was okay, you need a media kit. Essentially what it is, it's a condensed portfolio that you use as a pitch deck with your pricing to send out to brands when they inquire. So when companies ask you, it's kind of like a wedding pricing guide.
Yeah.
Instead of them reaching out and be like, hey, so can you give us pricing? You kind of just send that. It's like a literally a pricing guide so that it's informative, it's concise, but it gives you numbers. And that's the biggest thing. These brands need to see the numbers. Otherwise you're doing this little dance and then you don't even know at the end of it, like, do they have the budget for you?
Right.
So Austin gave really, really good advice around that and actually provided his media kit to us.
Which is very kind because he does mentor sessions with people very often.
It was basically that. He charges for one-on-one mentor sessions.
Yeah, and quite a bit too. And people are always booking him because he's just very humble and very talented and very low key about all that too. He does not come from a...
He does not like talking about himself either.
No, if he listens to this episode and gets to this part, he's going to be cringing, I'm sure, just hearing us praise him.
He's a stud. So like, so, yeah, you know, so cool. he loves hearing all about himself.
Dude, loves to bench press. Big, big gym guy.
He's a running too. Hybrid athlete.
I saw that.
He's like, hybrid athlete.
Yes.
That's for Cyrus. Yeah. So like that conversation really like gave me, it reminded me a lot of when I first started shooting weddings, I would have these coffee meetups with these, these wedding photographers who are already established. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me a lot of that. It was someone already in the industry that I'm looking to get into. And also like providing wisdom and caution to mm-hmm. things that like I just wasn't aware of.
Yep.
And so that really informed a lot of my next steps. And the one thing that he said too was like, you have to reach out. And he's like, it's gonna be hard. You're basically not gonna hear back from people. And I was like, oh man, like I've done this before. I don't wanna do this again. With weddings, that was so tough. But kind of just like sucked it up, finished my media kit very quickly after that. And like based off the structure of Austin's, but obviously with my own work and my own numbers. But for the past maybe month now, that's all I've been working on. Once that was finished, I revamped my website once again. And there's a few choices I made in the past month and a half that I'm telling myself I need to be serious about this. One was offloading all my Canon gear and then switching to various brands at this point. I shoot Sony, Fuji, and Ricoh, which is pretty sick. but you know, like I did that because I needed a refresh.
Yeah.
Like I needed to look at my work with new eyes, with new tools. And like I was so accustomed to associating my Canon gear with my wedding work. And I just like needed to take a bold step forward and getting rid of the tools that I was so comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And now using new tools that frankly, I'm still figuring out. Like I'm still figuring out how to use these cameras, but I did that because it was like a resetting of my mind with everything is being reset right now. Not just the gear, but my business, my approach, my numbers, all these things. And so, the past month has been a lot of reaching out to like restaurants, hotels, agencies, trying to lean on past contacts. And I'll be honest, it's been a lot of like nothing.
Yeah.
A lot of like hearing back. Like I was telling Lois this, but I think like last week I was like, what's the point? Like, why am I doing all this? Like, should I have just kept shooting weddings? Like, I know I have so much more to grow in as an artist, and like my work is still pretty underdeveloped in this area, but I know my work is good enough to get some opportunities. And that's what I've been telling myself is I just need a shot. Like someone just like take, you don't have to, I'll do it for free. Like it'll be a trade. You won't lose anything. In fact, you'll get free images or videos out of this. Just give me the chance to create the body of work, because right now that's what I'm working on, spec work and just building my portfolio so that like my wedding work, if someone comes across my website or my Instagram, they're going to see the body of work there and then hopefully be captivated by enough to reach out and inquire. And that's what I've been working on for the past month. It's been tough, honestly. It's been very like discouraging.
Yeah.
And like just question your identity. Like, why am I doing this? Will I make money? I don't know. Like, it's just like I've asked myself a lot of like existential questions over the past month, but I know I'll get there. And Austin said too, like he said, like give it a year. Mm-hmm. And like, that's kind of I've told myself that after that call, like give myself a year to go hard. And even if it really sucks, even if like, I think nothing good happens, give it a year of like really giving your best shot.
Yeah.
And so I'm only like 2 months into that, 10 more months of like really going hard. And I know that opportunities will start popping up here and there. Mm-hmm. And like, it's a bet on myself.
Yeah.
That, like I can do this. It's just, I need the opportunities, and they'll come just like the IHG one, from posting an Instagram story from a Visco filter on a family staycation in the city that I've stayed at numerous times already. I've posted vignettes from that place for years, but like it just took one little share for one pair of eyes to see it and then be interested by it. And so that's what I'm working on at the moment. And it's all new to me. Like I have a lot of questions. I'm a noob essentially. Like I'm figuring out, I know I can take good photos and videos, but the application of like that genre still new to me. Mm-hmm. So there's excitement too. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know what lies ahead, which kind of reminds me of like Gene, the photographer 10 years ago, starting to figure stuff out. But there's excitement too, because I had no idea where things are headed. So that's kind of where I'm at.
But we do know that in the next few weeks, you are headed to not one, but two really cool spots coming up. And that was the win I was referencing earlier. You had some,
where am I going?
You had some positive feedback from two places that you had reached out to.
Oh yeah. So a lot of places, like I've been, a lot of places work with agencies and that's like, Austin also told us that in our call with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it makes sense with my experience with IHG too, but a lot of hospitality businesses are working with an agency and they're not in-house to create content for them. But like in the hospitality space, fortunately and unfortunately, when they find their people, they kind of stick to them.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's hard. If and that's a good sign for them. Like if they have found their people, that's a good thing. That means that someday if I can work with an agency that like trusts me, then hopefully I can work with them for a long time. But because of that reality, a lot of the responses I get are either just like no responses or, hey, like, sorry, yeah, we're not looking for anyone at the moment, but we'll keep your name in mind for future projects. And it's like, gotcha. Yeah. I get it. Like I really do get it. But yeah, I've been reaching out to a lot of hotels and restaurants specifically here in Chicago. And then, yeah, just reached out to a hotel. Like it would be considered like a luxury hotel here who it was really funny. I reached out through Instagram. I was given an email. I followed up an email. I got a first response. And then I sent three after that with nothing.
Wow.
And I was like, oh man, like this is brutal.
Yeah.
And then I went back to Instagram last week. And I was like, hey, I'm not trying to be annoying. But I like, you know, I just wanted to follow up one more time here just in case you weren't seeing my emails. And then she said, I'm so sorry, I went to my spam folder. I actually didn't see that. Like, I'm so sorry. Oh, like I didn't respond. And so I was like, oh man, like, thank God I'm like persistent too. Because like, I was like, I just need to know. I'll do everything I can. If there's no Instagram response, I'll let it go.
Yeah.
Thankfully she was like, yes, please. Like, let's get a phone call scheduled. So that was just before this. And, that was with an agency, a contact at an agency that works with this hotel.
Cool.
But, it was a great call. We're going to put together a test shoot. Which it's for trade. I'm not gonna get paid to do this one. And I told her like, I don't need to monetize this. In fact, I don't want to. Like, I want it to be like low hanging fruit for you where like you don't lose anything. Mm-hmm. But really like, I'll just create visuals for you. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was a great call. Really encouraged. I needed something like that. I just needed one person to be like, yeah, sure, let's do it.
Yep.
And then there's also a restaurant, like a small restaurant. Like they run a brand for the chef, but also the restaurant itself. And I reached out to them like weeks and weeks ago. And then same thing too. Like I emailed them after an IG response gave me an email address. And then I emailed like two more times. And I was like, okay, let me just like follow through email or Instagram one more time. And they said, we're so sorry. Like the contact we gave you is no longer with us.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, woo, it's not me then. Yeah. And like the email, they gave me a new email, which was like with a different name on it.
Wow.
And so just heard back from them. And then they also want to get a shoot in at their restaurant too. So like, it's like, that's all I need. Mm-hmm. I don't need to get paid right now. I mean, I would love to get paid, but I know that my body of work still doesn't warrant working with a lot of agencies right now because it's not there. Mm-hmm. So I need to be patient with myself too. And also do like the heavy lifting of shooting spaces on my own, which is like a big thing I'll do the next few weeks as it's warming up here in Chicago now. I'll go to different like places I've saved and go shoot interiors and lifestyle stuff there just for fun, mm-hmm. To build that portfolio. But yeah, I'm excited. Like I don't know what the future is going to hold. I'm hoping that this will be the next iteration of my career, but I don't know either.
Yeah. For sure. And at least for 2024, you do still have a fairly, not the packed wedding schedule, but yeah. You're still shooting between 15 and 20 weddings.
No,
this year?
I only have 8 this year.
Oh, you're doing 8 this year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The good thing about the 8 weddings are like with doing weddings for 10 years, mm-hmm. Like that'll be provide income that will be substantial for my business this year, as far as like, you know, like being able to charge the numbers that I charge because of my experience. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I'm not doing, I think when people hear 8, sometimes they're like, well, that's a lot. I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like, I do like 35 a year. That's very different. Yep. So yeah, I'll still do some weddings. I still have other jobs lined up, big or small. And I still do other, like I still do interiors too, mm-hmm. like for residential stuff. So I still do stuff, but I'm really hoping that this hospitality thing will become again, like my next wedding thing. Mm-hmm. And I can do that for the next 10 years.
The lion's share part of the business.
Yeah.
It's definitely hard to replace weddings because of how, frankly, once you get the ball rolling, how easy they are to book and how well they pay.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty noticeable hole to fill when you remove that from the equation.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's tough, but proud of you for just going after it, man.
Thanks.
That's a difficult position to be in of almost feeling like you're in square one again, where you just, okay, got to prove myself. yeah. and build the portfolio again yeah. is really difficult.
It's fun in our studio too to like have a dynamic that's lighthearted and fun, because like we are always having so much fun, but like yeah, it's a thing that I think when people look at me, they're like, oh, Gene's just like always going home, or like he's always like he's not here a lot. But I'm like, yeah, but like what you don't see is me just like quietly just behind the scenes just
working
like,
all
yeah
the time.
I always like it's the thing like Lois to my wife is always making fun of me. She's like, why are you home already? Like, can you go back to the studio? Or like after the gym, I'll be like waiting for the Gaja to warm up to make a cappuccino. She's like, can you just make a coffee at the studio? Just go to work right now. I'm like, nah, we're good, we're chill. But yeah, like that's something that I'm very, I'm a very disciplined person. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, I don't want to be a workaholic anymore like I was years ago. But I know that I'm putting the work in mm-hmm. to get to hopefully where I want to get to. And if I don't, that's okay. I'll at least have known that I put the work in to try to get there. So I'll be okay with that.
And to be clear, the most efficient work happens when you are either dialed in at the studio or not at the studio at all.
Yeah. I do a lot of work outside of the studio still.
Yeah. Yeah. We love the dynamic, but it's also tough to really focus sometimes. And stuff like this, like we've talked about this entire episode, takes yeah. really deep focus work.
Yeah. But I want to goof off the entire time.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get no work done.
We kind of treat the studio like a playground most of the time.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. We're getting the jungle gym installed next week.
We are.
That should be fun.
You can't see it on camera, but
it's just for Chad this. And Gene and Braxton to tech deck all over.
Yes. Yeah, I don't, at 33 years old, play with the tech deck board that Chad got me on my desk. It's like the thing I always do. It's like my fidget toy that I do, like between, especially with the GFX, exporting on Lightroom takes so much longer, but I'm just doing this.
I know that Gene is in between stuff when I hear.
Yeah, I do. Like, I do a lot of waiting for like exports. Yes. That's when I'm like, yep. Or like backing up stuff. I'm always like, phew. But Chad's a master. I'm still a noob. I'm at level 1. He's at level 1,000. So dang. I'll get there someday.
One day. Sweet. Thanks for doing this.
Of course. Thanks for asking all these questions about me, because I love talking about myself.
That's why I wanted to thank you for doing it, because even though you're a co-host on this show, I know you don't like talking about yourself or much at all sometimes. So it's nice to be able to share your story a little bit more and your experience and your work ethic with people, because I think a lot of people could benefit from it.
Yeah, I'm not drenched in sweat right now.
Well, you wore a sweater on a spring day. It's so nice out. It's so warm.
I would have sweat regardless. I could be naked and I'd be sweating right now. It could be like 40 degrees in here and I would still be sweating. So
you can sign up for the Patreon if you want to see the naked edit of Gene in this episode.
There's a paywall though. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks all for listening to this episode, for watching it. If you're on YouTube, wherever you are, if you could subscribe, like, leave a rating, leave a review on the show, whatever platform that might be that you prefer to listen or watch this through, we would really appreciate that. We are really gunning for a much larger audience and growth this year for Rally Caps. We will be hitting our 100th episode actually by the end of this year, which we're really excited about. So if you want to be along for that journey, again, subscribe, like, leave a rating, review, comment, all that good stuff. Thanks for being here. We love you all, and we will see you in next week's episode.